بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Respected friends and elders, we were discussing yesterday that how a person becomes selfish, and because of this we fail to realize how low we stoop. We fail to realize to what extent we go in fulfilling this selfishness. One evil quality that stems from this is the quality of hasad, jealousy and envy, where a person wants all for himself and nothing for the next man, where a person cannot take it that somebody else is prospering in life, where a person cannot see somebody surpassing him in the field that he is in. This disease of hasad, respected friends and elders, is as old as humankind. The first murder that was committed on earth by Qabil, the son of Adam alayhis salam, was because of hasad. He was jealous over his brother, and then that led him to commit the first murder on earth. And jealousy may start small. A person may get jealous over something trivial, but then it progresses. You know, it's like cancer, it's a progressive disease. And like some diseases, in some cases it's hereditary, that we actually pass it on to our children also. They hear us discussing in the house, they hear us discussing in the car, they hear us discussing on the phone with someone, in which we vent our dissatisfaction at the progress of somebody else. The children are hearing it. So it's a progressive disease and a hereditary disease as well. One elderly person once mentioned this incident to me. It's just an example. It's an example, but it's so real. He says that once the angel came to a man and tells him that, you know, you have been divinely selected. Whatever you wish, you shall have. Your heart's desire for whatever you want. You will get everything, but just one condition is that your neighbor will get double. Whatever you wish for, you'll get. Your heart's desire will be fulfilled. So he says, okay, give me 24 hours. You know, I've got a long list. So he sits with his wife and then they, you know, write down their wish and whatever they ever wished for. When they finish that list, they say, no, alhamdulillah, I think everything is covered here. Then the thought hits them that, hey, you know what, my neighbor is going to get double. So then again they try, you know, and do add more to that list and add more, because they now undecided what to do. So after 24 hours, when the angel returns, so this person says, you know, yes, I've decided what I want, and my neighbor will get double, isn't it? I said, yes. So he says, I've decided that I want that you take away one of my eyes. I want that you remove one of my eyes. Now this is a lesson, respected friend and elders, that he wanted one eye to be removed, so the neighbor gets double his eyes, both his eyes removed. That at times in life, we are given whatever we need. At times in life, our plate is full, like a person may say. But we can't tolerate that the next person's plate also has something. Sometimes we'll go to this extent, respected friends and elders, that we will cause harm to ourselves also. You know, a man doesn't mind taking the loss just so that the next person doesn't gain. This is to what extent this disease leads a person. The ulama write that from all the sinners, the sinner that is punished immediately is the hasid, is the one who is envious and jealous. It's because he is burning within himself. The person who is jealous, he is uneasy, he is restless. He may have all the money in the world, he may be driving the best of cars, or he may have the best of position in that particular company, but he is jealous of somebody else for whatever reason. That person maybe looks better than him. That person maybe has better friends than him. It doesn't only apply to wealth, respected friends and elders. Hasad comes when a person has wealth, and it comes when a person has got no wealth also. So the hasid, the one who is jealous and envious, this person is burning within himself. One poet in Arabic mentions that إِيَّاكَ وَحَسَدِ الْحَسُودِ. Be wary of being jealous. فَالنَّارُ تَأْكُلُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا إِذَا لَمْ تَجِدْ مَا تَأْكُلُ. This is the last part of the couplet. He says that because hasad destroys a person, like the fire. The fire will eat itself up if it's got nothing else to burn on. If it's got nothing else to eat, you don't put fuel into the fire, you don't put more coal, you don't put more wood for that fire to eat and to burn off. Then that fire will eat itself up. The same happens to a hasid. That is not worth it, respected friend and others. He will finish himself up. His own life then becomes a misery. Because of hasad, because of jealousy, because of this envy, what happens? A man doesn't only have his ill feelings in the heart, but it leads him to take steps and drastic steps. He does them wrong. So many homes were broken because of jealousy, infighting between the siblings. So many marriages were broken because of jealousy. So many other relationships, two friends, but because jealousy came in between, it separated them for life. So this evil disease, respected friends and elders, is very, very far-reaching. And what is hasad? How have the ulama defined hasad? Hasad is tamanni zawal al-ni'mati anil maqsood. For a person to wish that ni'mat that Allah has given a certain person must be taken away, irrespective of whether I get it or not, but he mustn't have it. That is hasad. We are allowed to have ghibta. Ghibta is where we admire a person for the ni'mat that he has. And we wish to have the same without him being deprived of it. So you see somebody who is blessed with a ni'mat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, make dua for barakah. When you see some person is blessed with something from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that Allah bless him with that. Don't have hasad. We are taught the opposite. And if you wish the same for yourself, then there's no harm. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who is jealous, in actual fact, is not only dissatisfied at his brother or his neighbor or that friend of his who is now, you know, coming up in life, so to say, or who has what I don't have. This person is actually dissatisfied at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. Because who gave that person that ni'mah? Where did it come from? It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can't accept this. That means you are dissatisfied at the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is an even more serious crime. On the other hand, respected friends and elders, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum have led us through example how we should interact when we see ni'mats around us. When we see people, mashallah, springing up in life or in position or in any other ni'mat. Then as I mentioned, the hadith says, make dua for barakat for that person. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhum mentioned. In one narration, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu also mentioned that when the Muhajirun Sahaba had come from Makkah and they came to Medina Sharif, then understand, respected friends and elders, what was hijrat? Hijrat was for them to give up whatever they had. Whatever they owned, they left it in Makkah, and whatever they could load maybe on that one camel of theirs, or that one conveyance that they had. No trailer you can pull at the back. Whatever they could load on the back of that animal, they loaded and then they fled, they took their lives and their iman and they ran from Makkah. There was no savings account that you can access from any part of the dunya. No ATM card. So whatever wealth also they could take with them, they could take, the rest had to be left behind in Makkah only for the sake of deen. So when they came to Medina, they owned no property in Medina. They had no ATMs like I'm saying in Medina. There was nothing. Whatever they brought with them is what they had. And how long would that carry them? How long would that last them? But their hijrat was for the sake of deen. So the Muslims in Medina, the Ansar radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they opened up their homes and their hearts for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And the Sahabi would say, the Ansari Sahabi would say, and he would offer that, take half of my wealth. not being envious that this person has come, he has hardly even worked in life, and I must part with what I have earned. And what we were speaking about is somebody on his, through his own earning is coming up in life. I haven't done any good to that person. Of his own accord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him directly and I can't take it. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum are sharing their own hard-earned livelihood. The Ansar were farmers. They were date farmers. So they used to work hard in labor. Hard-earned wealth. But I'm prepared to give you half. You stay in one, half of my house is yours. I have two wives, I'm prepared to divorce one also. So that you can lead a comfortable life. These are the sublime qualities that were taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that were implemented by Sahaba radiallahu anhum as an example and a role model. That this can happen. It's not something that is impossible. My respected father mentioned that here in Durban, there was many years ago a brother that had come from Johannesburg, from Transvaal in those days. And he opened a business, and mashallah, he prospered in his business. But he had a brother, blood brother, still in Transvaal, who was down in life. He wasn't making ends meet. He was battling, like we say. So this brother in Durban tells that brother, why don't you come and join me in my business? I will give you half. I'll give you half my business. Now, respected friend and elders, today, this seems so strange. I mean, how this person was prepared to give half of his entire business to his brother. We forgot that when we were growing up, everything was half. This is your blood brother. That's your sister. This is your family. When you were growing up, you were eating from the same table. You were sharing from the same pot. Two brothers sometimes shared the same clothing at times. You shared the same togs for soccer and football. You shared the same cricket bat. As you were growing up, whatever you had, you did share. Now that you got married in life, now you progress. Now we feel that everything is for ourselves. What we can manage and what we can't manage is for ourselves. No, it's only natural. What this brother did was natural, respected friends and elders. And what we may feel is normal, that we keep all for ourselves, that's abnormal. That's unnatural. So this brother comes from Johannesburg, and after 3 or 6 months, he became very sick and he passed away. The one who was invited from Johannesburg, he comes down, he's staying here, and after a few months, he gets sick and he passes away. Now, respected friends and elders, that brother who was in Durban, who initially owned the business, what does he do? Does he make like, you know, that offer was only for my brother, now he's gone, so I don't need to give him? Does he usurp the wealth of the orphans that were left behind? This was his own wealth initially. His own wealth, not the wealth of our father. That now when the father left, then one brother took away the inheritance from the other. No, no. This belonged to this brother. So he says that after, very shortly after the funeral, this survived, the brother who initially owned the business, he called his son and he told them that I had promised my brother half the business when he joins me in Durban. Although he was there for such a short while, but half belongs now to his family. Half of my business goes actually towards his estate and as inheritance for his heirs. So they separated the business and half was given even after the demise of his brother. So respected friends and elders, these qualities are to an extent extinct in the ummah, but can still be revived. It's not only for the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, rather in this day and age as well. With a little bit of effort, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give tawfiq and we can implement these sublime qualities through which there will definitely be more love, more muhabbat, more unity among ourselves, and we ourselves also will be at more ease and more peace. And that person who is in hasad, as I mentioned, himself is restless. He can't sleep properly at night. The person on whom he has hasad, the person for whom he is jealous, that person is enjoying a nice sleep, is snoring on his bed. But the one who cannot take it, he can't fall asleep. He is burning, he is shaking, he is trembling. So have mercy on ourselves and let us eradicate him on whichever level it may be. And respected friends and elders, at the beginning I mentioned, to an extent this is also a hereditary. So if we notice this in our children from that young age, then let us caution them as well. Let us speak in front of them good about the next people. that, mashallah, my neighbor, alhamdulillah, is renovating his house. Mashallah. Allah give him barakah. So nice for him. And if we wish the same for ourselves, then we make dua, Allah give us tawfiq also. Inshallah, one day we will do the same. Like this, if we speak in the home, we speak like that on the phone, we speak like that in the car, the children also will get these good qualities from us. Not bad qualities, respected friends and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. There's one request for those in i'tikaf, that let us inshallah ensure that we do not disturb the rest of the brothers that are here as well. Sometimes at night there's extra noise, some of the elders are complaining, and sometimes, you know, our cell phones ring. Keep it, if you're supposed to have the cell phone for some emergency, keep it on silent mode. And if we set an alarm, then let us ensure that we wake up and we switch off that alarm, because it's not that every person wakes up at the time that we prefer and choose to wake up. And as a request to those who are disturbed, let us inshallah tolerate, let us not lose our tempers. And especially if somebody's alarm is ringing, then it's a sign he wants to wake up. So if we are awake, then let us inshallah politely wake him up and tell him, brother, your alarm is ringing. So he can switch off the alarm also. Others will be at ease also. And the brother wakes up on time also, inshallah.